We come to the final Lord's Day of 2020. And you might look back and think to yourself that the last year, this year, has been maybe a wasted year. Is that how you feel? Where are your thoughts about this past year? This time last year, you would not have imagined the things that the world has experienced. Our lives, they've been changed in some form or another, in a way that we never imagined. We never thought about it, that this thing would happen. And you can understand why. For so many people, 2020 seems like a terrible year that they don't want to repeat it. Who wants to repeat this year again? At the commencement of the year, you, as well as many others, including myself, you had many hopes. You had many expectations. Somewhere you were looking forward to finishing, some of us, we were looking forward to finishing your course, your studies, being married at a certain time, moving on, making progress in certain things in your life. Everybody had certain plans. And it's proved what the Word of God says about caring for the things now. Not be so concerned about tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you don't know what it will bring forth. You don't know even 2021 what it will bring forth. Like most people, it's not been what you expected. And for many people, most people in this world, it's been an unprecedented year. Your plans were canceled, and it seems that it's been a useless year for some people. Some have been brokenhearted over the death of their husbands, over the death of their wives, and some other dear friend, some other loved one has passed away. There were many opportunities for some of you who's been missed, and key events in your life, they have been affected, they have been canceled. Some of you, it seems that there has been a pause button, and it's been pressed and held there, and you're just waiting for the play button to be pressed so that you can continue with life. You think that you've lost a year of your life, and your future is uncertain. Isn't it true? But when you think about it, when you think about it more, you know that it has not all been negative, but there has been various positive things that has happened too. So this morning, I want us to take a godly review, not a worldly review, but a godly review of 2020, and I want us to come and hear the Word of God from this passage of God's Word in Joel, and see if everything has been a loss to us, and has God done something, and has God got something to say to you right now. You see, God has promised us in the Bible that He will use everything for His own glory, and that nothing is happening by chance or accident. God promises that the life of those who trust in Him are not wasted lives. The question is, are you trusting in Him? Because many good things may happen to you, but if you have, the Lord Jesus said, if you have gained the whole world and lose your own soul, then what is that? You've wasted that life. If you're a true believer and a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is in His hand. The timing of your life is in His hand, and all will be well for a child of God. We are not saying that there will be no trouble, that we are not saying there will be no pain, there will be no tears, but ultimately all will be well. And if you're not a Christian, and the last year has been a year of disappointment, God has a word for you. God is speaking to you, and He's saying to you that your life is so short, and He's saying to you that you are not in control of it, And you can't plan things. The government is not in control of our lives. The various people that you look up to, they are not in control. And they've had to admit to it again and again. So has last year been a wasted year? It has been if it has been without God. It has been a wasted year if you have mainly thought about yourself, your health, your preservation, your work, your studies. If that's all it's been about, then it has been a wasted year. Because those things will change. Those things will not last. But for the Christian, the Lord, we are told, He restores what seems like a wasted life or a wasted year. Have you lost certain things in the past 12 months? Certain people? The Lord can give you a heart of thankfulness by trusting in His gospel and in His word. In this prophecy that was given to the prophet Joel, we have many challenging and many condemning matters, but at the same time, there are certain promises, there are certain encouraging words for those who feel that their time and life and year has been a wasted year and redundant. The New Testament quotes from Joel, even on the day of Pentecost, and in other occasions in the New Testament, this passage has been recorded as being fulfilled and being fulfilled, still continue to be fulfilled in the coming days. In verse 25 of Joel chapter 2, this is what you read. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. The Lord says to them, you think it's all been a loss. He says, this is my promise to you. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. God is promising the restoration of time for those who trust in Him, for those of His people who are, and He uses this imagery of the locusts eating away at the years and the time of a person's life. And He says that He will restore them. God inspired Prophet Joel, of course, to the nation of Israel, to the southern kingdom of Israel during the 9th century before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was there during, most likely during the reign of the wicked Queen Athaliah, or maybe later on during the short reign of King Joash. He was sent by God to speak of God's judgment and also to speak of restoration over His people and to call the people, call the nation to repentance so that they escape judgment and to experience God's revival. That's why He was sent. For several years, the land of Israel had been decimated by the enemies, and they constantly had shortage of food because of the plagues of locusts and these other creatures that God had sent. And you might ask, well, why did God send them the plagues? Why did God send them these difficulties? And that's the question of all time, isn't it? Why do bad things happen? Because they were rebelling against God. Because they were living in sin, and sin affects everything. This is a sinful world, and bad things happen. When we throw out God, then we are left to our own devices. We have thrown out the captain. We have thrown out all of the things, and we are living in a society where we have cut off the rudder, we have thrown away the compass, which is the word of God, and so we are just sailing upon these waves, not knowing where we are going, and people make shipwreck of their lives. And that is what was happening. They were not concerned at that time about the Lord, and so God sent these prophets to remind them. And He sent these things to bring them to their senses. They were getting what they deserved, and God took His hand off blessing them. So God was chastening His people. God was disciplining them so that they would turn to Him for forgiveness and for life. And if they would trust Him, and repent and turn to him, God would save them and would restore the time that was wasted. He would make up for all that they had lost in the years of famine. That's what the Lord was saying. So that they would be given a heart of rejoicing. And so in these verses, friends, the Lord is saying, these sad things have happened. You have rejected and you have thrown my word away. And so what has happened? Your years have been a disappointed years. You've been very disappointed. You've lost much, but yet there is hope. Yet I will show grace. So now this morning, I want us to use this passage of the Word of God to review 2020 and ask it for yourself. What has my year been like? What has 2020 been like? Not in a human and a natural way, but this must be a godly review of 2020. And there are five things that I want us to think about this morning. First of all, review what makes you, has made you happy. Review what makes you happy. Secondly, review what truly blesses you. Then thirdly, review what you have lost and how to get them back. And then fourthly, review God's hand in the saddest events of 2020. And then finally, review God's provision. These are some of the things that I want you to think about. First of all, review what makes you happy. Think about this past year and think what makes you happy. Again, looking at the context of this passage, it was a sad time in the barren land of Israel, and there was not much reason for people to be happy. And yet God says to them, be glad. God says to them, in verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Everything is sad. Everything is heartbreaking. They have lost much. It's been wasted, so much waste. And yet God is saying to them, be glad. You see, you look back, if you look back in a godly way, reviewing your life in the past, past year or so, God says, be glad. God promises you to joy to those who repent. The Lord is saying, there is joy for the repentant. This is what we find in the scriptures. For those who are trusting, those who are turning away from sin, those who recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they have reason to rejoice and be happy, to be glad. This is what Mary said at the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be conceived in her in Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 and 47. Listen to what Mary said. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She's recognizing that God is her Savior. She needs salvation from her sins. So there is both faith and repentance involved in that passage. But also she says, my spirit is rejoicing. I am glad for this news. The news of the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. Mary had come to know God. And her soul could only rejoice and magnify God when she heard about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Be glad then, he says. He's reviewing their life. He's reviewing their sad days. And he says, is there room for rejoicing? Is there room for us to be glad? Can we review our time and say, still I will praise God. Still I thank him. Still I will be happy in him. You see, this is the spirit, this is the character, this is the attitude of those who have received forgiveness of sins. You see, God forgives sinners who fully trust in Christ. And what the children of Israel had then was the coming Christ. They saw him in types and shadows. They saw him in various promises that God is going to send a Savior. And by them trusting in the coming Messiah, the coming Savior, God will forgive them of sins. And before, even it wasn't according to keeping certain laws or regulations, it was by faith. That was how Abraham was converted, through faith in the promise of God. And as he trusted, he was counted as righteous in God's sight. And so it was all about looking to the coming Jesus Christ. And so it is with us, looking back to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. And in this, God gives us, by trusting in him, God gives us a new heart, a new life, and he sets us free from the bondage of sin. And the Lord is always with us. The Lord is always listening to our prayers, listening to our cries. He guides us and he supports us and he provides everything that we need throughout our life in this world. And then when we die, what happens to the Christian? They're taken to heaven to be with him, which is far better. And so, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the source of our joy and gladness. And that's why it says, be glad then. And the Christian says, I will be glad. My circumstances are not a happy one. I'm so confused about what God is doing around me, and I don't know how to answer people about these things, but I will still be glad. We rejoice. So the Lord Jesus becomes the source of our joy and happiness. And Jesus, who was to come, would be the reason for Israel's gladness and rejoicing. So, my friends, if you have come to trust in Christ and you're following him and you've turned away from your sin and you daily are looking to him, calling upon him, then you are so blessed. Then you should be so thankful. You look back and you think, yes, the year has been a sad year, but I will still be glad in the Lord. I've had time after time to be thankful and be glad in my God, to be happy in him. You see, because he paid the price of my sins. He died for me. He paid a great price for us who believe in him by dying on the cross. Our sin debt has been paid for. God is satisfied. His holiness is satisfied. So you look back at 2020, and you hear God say to you, be glad. You look back and be glad, then ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. That's the right response as you review 2020. Be glad and rejoice, because Jesus Christ has come, and he has come to save, and he has come to bless, and he has come to forgive, and he has come to keep, and he's come to provide, he's come to guide, and he's come to take you in his time to his heaven. So be glad, the Lord is saying to us. Another thing, the second thing is this. Review what truly blesses you. Review what truly blesses you. Here it says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So here in verse 23, we read of the former rain and the latter rain. What is that about? What is Joel saying to us? There is this former rain. It's the rain that came before at the right time. It was the autumn rain. And if you have Bibles with margins in your Bibles, the translators have supplied other meanings, other translations of those words. It could also be translated the rain in righteousness, or a teacher of righteousness. It is this rain that comes that is right at the right time. It is this rain that comes that is good to the land. It blesses the land that has been eaten up by the locusts. And the Lord says, I send you those things. It comes in the right time. It comes in the right amount. In the Hebrew language, the word for rain, it means a teacher as well. It could simply be read, the teacher of righteousness. It could refer, this passage could be referring to the right time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teacher of Israel, the true teacher. As Moses had taught them that there will be one, the prophet will be raised, the great teacher will be raised that will lead them to God. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the context here, we have the idea of appropriate rainfall and the blessing of physical restoration. God's timing of mercies, God's timing of blessings are just right, he's saying. It is God who can bless you and not yourself by being healthy. There are lots of people who are healthy, but they're miserable. They have no hope. There are lots of people who have things, but again, miserable and no hope, no future. There are many people who are educated, but again, not much hope, not much future. There are people who have families, and yet not much hope and not much future. Who is the one who is the source of our joy and happiness? Who is the one who is our only hope that never changes? Who is the one who is ever faithful? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who must give you his mercies at the right time, blessing you every morning with new mercies, just the right mercies, just the right blessings. Or else it will be empty. Or else whatever you look after, it will not last forever. In Psalm 72, we read in verses 6 and 7, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. It's talking about the Lord coming down. It's the Spirit of God working and coming down upon the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 72. So that is it. Review this year in the right way. Review this year in a godly way. Not in the way that everybody else is doing. The third thing is this. Review what you have lost and how to get it back. Review what you have lost and how to get them back. Look at verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Again, apply it. Review 2020. This is a text that you can review each year, but especially the most difficult years, the most trying years, the years that you think nothing much was achieved. I've lost it. You look at the last year, and so much seems to have happened that has been lost, it's been wasted. How discouraged and disappointed people must be. They feel so sad about it. What will I do? My life is ruined, some people might say. I wasn't able to sit certain exams. I wasn't able to do certain things, and my future is lost. Is that how you feel? But is it true? Is it true? Trust in the Lord, my friends. Trust in the God of the Bible. Trust in his word. Ruin only comes. A wasted life only will be if you are living in your sin, if you don't leave your sin, if you don't cling to Jesus Christ. A life without Christ is a wasted life. It doesn't matter how much you have achieved, but without Christ living in you, that's a wasted life. That's what the Bible says. A wasted life will be a life that is unbelieving, because you don't only waste this life, but you also will lose your soul. You will be lost for eternity when you die. But here is this beautiful, this is this hopeful promise to reverse the devastation, to reverse the devastating waste that has happened. Your life doesn't have to be a wasted life, and and a hopeless life, because Jesus Christ has died and now he's alive. You can trust in him. You can call upon him. That's what he goes on to say. It shall come to pass in verse 32 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. The Apostle Paul quotes this passage and says, this is for us now. You see, the Lord can and will make up for the losses of those who are sorrowing over their sins and are turning away and trusting in Jesus Christ and following him each day. Wherever he leads, we say we will go. Whenever sinners turn to the Lord, he will convict them in due time, and he will convince us also that we have not lost at all by these afflictions. That actually the Lord has diverted our attention, has changed the path we were on, the better way. He's made us to think. He's made us to examine our hearts. Whatever has been eating away at your time in life will be taken away as if you had not wasted a single day. That's what the Lord is saying here. God will make up the losses. What do you see when you look at 2020? Has it been wasted? It is, as I said, only if you carry on without the Lord. If you carry on as before. If you are just wanting things to go back to normal. If that's all you're concerned about, it means that you've learned very little. I don't want to go back to normal. I want to go back to a life that is closer walk with God. That's what I want. I want to go to a life of more faith, more trust, less sin, holy living, a life of joy in the Lord, a life that is useful for him. If you go ahead with no thought about where your soul is going, then sadly, you have not learned much. And God is saying to you, turn to me, follow Jesus Christ, and he will take away the locusts, because the locusts will be always there if you don't trust in him. These plagues will always be there. Satan's work will always be defeating you. But he says, through trusting in me, he says, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be delivered. He says, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Then it is that the work of Satan will be defeated. So look back in your life. Look back and see, what have you lost? But how God will restore those things to you is by trust in Christ. The fourth thing is this. Review God's hand in the saddest events. Review God's hand in the saddest events of 2020. Oh, what sad experiences all of us have had throughout this past year. What locusts, what caterpillars, what worms have been gnawing on things in our lives, and it's been painful. You've not passed the exam that you thought you would. You missed opportunities that you thought you would have. Now you are living in some consequences that have come from that, and you don't know what even will happen in the coming year. You've maybe fell into some sad sins. Maybe you've fallen into some sort of temptation and they've taken hold on you. Maybe you felt very lonely in the past year, and those are sad events of our lives. Maybe you have felt so isolated. Maybe few people called, maybe few people visited. Friends did not show themselves very friendly. You lost a job. And the saddest of all, you lost a close friend, maybe a spouse. The locust of sin and this fallen world has been at you more and more, more than ever before. Right? But do you not see God's hand in it? But do you not see how God has been there? Do you not see how God has been showing you who you really are? Some of you need to see that God has been chastening you, has been coming after you. He wants you to see him. He wants you to repent and turn to him. And he wants to work in you. But you're still cast down. Maybe you're trying to still make a sense of it all. And God assures you, only those of you who are trusting in him, who are actually believing in him, and living by faith and following him every day, that he can easily make up for those losses and sad events. The locusts, as we read it, the locusts were God's great army, which he sent. This is what it says. My great army, at the latter part of verse 25, my great army which I sent among you. They didn't just come by themselves, God sent them. And they were like an army. They had caused so much havoc, and they have caused so much hurt and to so many people. But then again, as certain as those things were, he can as easily remove them. He can as easily send them away, and then in its place send his blessing and plenty of his grace, he says, to them and to us. So the question is, I look back and I see all these sad events, but am I trusting in him? Or am I just trusting in something that will come? Do you trust him? Will you look to him? Will you trust in the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to shed his blood for us sinners, and he's alive now? He hears you when you call. Will you trust him? Will you have Jesus Christ as the source of your joy and forgiveness? Do you seek his forgiveness? Do you seek his presence? Everything else, friends, is transitory. It is all passing away. But here, this is what the Lord is promising. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Look at last year and look at what God has done. Has not God been with you? Has not God kept you? And then finally, review God's provision. Review God's provision. How often each day of this past year have you paused and given thanks to God? How many times? Each day you have turned to God in prayer, in thanksgiving. You see, a Christian would have, then they should have this attitude, this spirit of thankfulness to God who provides and who supplies all our needs. You see, this is one of the marks of a Christian, a thankfulness to the Lord. One of the marks of not being a Christian is that you are not thankful. You are not thankful from the depths of your heart. You might say some prayers at the dinner table. You might bow your head. But is it from the heart, from the depth of your soul, that God has blessed you and kept you? You see, it's a rare thing to see a family giving thanks at the dinner table, or for a child to give thanks, a young person to pause before they eat to thank God who has provided for them. Thankfulness is a mark of a Christian, but thanklessness is a mark of a non-Christian. Is what kind of a mark has been on your life in 2020? In verse 26, we read this, "And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." This is what the Lord says. It says God's blessing to you should result in praise, should result in thankfulness. You've been satisfied. But has 2020 been a year that we've been thankful and praising God more and more? You see, the scripture says that the end times, the times before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will be marked by the spirit of self-love. It will be marked by covetousness, people simply wanting things, to be consumers. Isn't this a consumer society? that we live in, we just use and use and use, buy this with a click of a button and Amazon will bring it to your door. And whatever you want, it will, you can just click a few buttons and it's there. But then you ask yourself, what have I done? What have I actually produced? But there is the word covetousness. There is the spirit of boasting and pride and taking the name of the Lord in vain. The scripture talks about the end times will be displayed with disobedience to parents and living an unholy life and so many other things. Let me quote you from what the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'll read just 5 verses from that. It says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness," so they have some sort of religion, they claim to be godly, but denying the power of it. This power of the new life is not in them, for such turn away. So these are marks of an unbelieving and secular age that hates God and hates God's law and his salvation. And yet there is this facade of religion and Christianity. And this has been the year that we've been living in. This is the kind of a year that has shown itself. All of these characteristics, including what? Thanklessness. Unthankful. And here it says, we have received so much. Should we not praise him? Should we not give him thanks? Is that your attitude? Or are you discontented with the things that you have? The Apostle Paul says, if you have food and raiment, clothing, let us be content. A Christian who's been saved from sin and its guilt and the condemnation of hell will be thankful even in the hardest times because God has been so good to us and so merciful to us and has given us his grace. And he said, he promised that he would give you his grace each day. And we don't deserve it, do we? I'm thankful because of so many natural and outward blessings of being able to worship God, for example, being able to come here and praise God and worship him, having the Bible in our hands, how thankful we should be, having bringing our own. In the olden days, there was just one Bible, printed Bible in chapels and churches, and people had to come to read it because they couldn't read it at home. But yet we have it, and we have it on our devices. Do we read it? Do we read it regularly? We have a Heavenly Father who hears our prayers. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that I will not be lost and that Jesus Christ will keep me. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for family, but especially for Christian brothers and sisters who love me and pray for me. I'm thankful for the freedom of worshiping God. I'm thankful for being able to witness to the gospel to those around me and preach his word. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful of discipling my children, of telling others about the Lord and making disciples of others. I'm thankful for the love of Christ. I'm thankful for his forgiveness of all my sins. Not most of my sins, but all of my sins. Are you thankful for those things? But maybe you have not been thankful. And maybe you say that you are not converted because of this mark, this evidence of an unthankful heart. And yet God has been so good to you. And this morning, as you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you hear this call to trust in him, to call upon his name, and he will deliver you, this morning you ought to be thankful that you have even been hearing these things. The Lord Jesus Christ challenges us. And the Lord Jesus Christ challenged his disciples and said this, that I find amazing. In Luke chapter 6 and verses 35 and 36, he says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Did you know that? You might say to me this morning, I have been so unthankful. But the Lord is saying here, God has been kind and merciful and gracious to even those who have been evil, those who have been unthankful. Hasn't God been good to you? Should you not now pause and thank him, even if you are not converted? And he says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We must stir ourselves then to praise God in this. As it says there in verse 26, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that he hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Think how God has given you your daily food. Who has been here and you just have spent one day without food because you simply did not have it? Didn't we have our fridges full? Didn't we have clothes to wear? Didn't we have a roof over our heads? Which one of us have had to sleep outside because we have been homeless? Which one? Which one of us went hungry for just one day? All of us have had plenty, but have we been thankful? I would say, with all the disappointments, with all the lack of faith, and with all the problems, with all the sins, still God has shown you mercy and God has kept you. And that is worthy of his praise. You have had an opportunity to pray. Maybe you have missed it. You've had the opportunity to call upon him. Maybe you've missed it. But here it is, once again, a great reminder to each one of us. You've heard the gospel before, but you've been slow to really receive it. We've been slow to repent of your sins. So here is the review of the last year, and think about God's provision God has provided, even in our sins. So, friends, God has pledged that all those who trust in him and seek his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be ashamed. He says, they will not be ashamed. My people, these are people who are trusting in Christ. They shall never be ashamed, it says. And the Apostle Paul, quoting verses like this, he says this in Romans 9 and verse 33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and the rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The same kind of expression is used. But who is not going to be ashamed? The one who believes on him. It's by trusting in this stumbling stone, this stone that people stumble over. They are offended by it. This stumbling stone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't reject him. Don't be offended by him. If you do, you will be ashamed. Why people stumble at Jesus? Why are they rejecting him? Because people often think that they are good. You and I, we naturally think we are good. Good enough for God. And we don't need to fully trust in him. But that is not true. We read in Romans 10 and verse 11, again, similar word. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So the last year may have been a faithless year for some. May have been a year that you have not really known salvation of God. But it doesn't have to end like that. It doesn't have to end like that. The Lord is saying, whoever you are, who believes on him shall not be ashamed. May that finish the year. May that be a year that has not been wasted, because it has brought you, it has led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've seen the emptiness of this world. You've seen the emptiness of all the things you'd hoped for. Don't let next year be another wasted year, whatever happens. It is vitally important that we take a stock, we review each year and think, where am I with the Lord? And so if I was to ask you at the door, where are you with God? What's the review of 2020? What will you say? May God then bless these things to us. Review what makes you happy. Review what truly blesses you. Review what you have lost and how to get it back. Review God's hand in the saddest events. And review God's provision. Provision of salvation. May God then bless these things to each one. Amen.